At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
This episode of Laugh With Me, a podcast with Jeremy Odom, is brought to you by PodUp.com. Have you ever thought about creating your own episode? You know, like having your own podcast? What are you waiting for? Get started at PodUp.com. They're one of the sponsors of this podcast, and they'd love to someday sponsor yours. Starting is as easy as creating an account at PodUp.com today. PodUp has literally everything that you need to run a full professional show. PodUp has over 35 different tools with AI integration to further help you succeed. Create a free starter account or get a paid account for 15% off with code LAUGHWITHME15. So go check out PodUp.com. Or if you're wanting a podcast that's done for you, where you pay an agency to do all the website, the social media, the editing work, check out PodAllies.com. PodAllies is an agency run by the folks that literally built the PodUp podcasting software. Get started with them at PodAllies.com. Get 15% off today when you sign up at PodUp or PodAllies with code LAUGHWITHME15. We can't wait to create with you and launch your podcast. Definitely a little more echoey in here now.
Do you refer to that? Is that the cold open?
That's funny. Yeah, you get the ba-dum. I gotta ask you something. There's this customer I had today. He was like one of those like teenagers that's like preppy.
Okay.
Like with just kind of carried himself and how he was dressed. It was, the total was $5.98. He paid with $6. And he gives me the keep the change.
Yeah.
Was he trying to flex on me? Like, keep the change. Like, well, dude, what the fuck?
Well, I mean, that's very generous. I mean, you guys always run the roundup. I mean, you always donate the roundup, right?
Yeah, but that is a giving. That's a, hey, you know what? We're going to give 2 cents to the cause. I think that's noble. But yeah, the keep the change, was he helping me out? Was this some kind of tip? Like,
this actually brings up, like, when I was a small child, like, as under 10. Like, I was under 10. I was occasionally child in a grocery store. But this actually brings up, I used to tell, like, keep the change. Now, what that meant to, like, 8-year-old Eric was, like, keep the coins. Like, I don't want the coins, but give me the bills.
Okay.
So then I just made it even more confusing because I give him a 20 to pay for, like, $7.98.
Yep.
And they would be like, you don't want this $12? And it's be like, no, I want the $12. I want you to keep the 2 cents.
All right. And that makes sense. There is a guy, he's a regular, and he won't accept coins, but he wants his bills back.
Yeah.
And, you know, he won't even let me hand him the coins. He points at the, like, the little penny thing, like the take a penny, leave a penny. So I put it in there. That's how what I feel the kid should have done, is accepted the 2 coins from me and then put them in the penny thing. And then I'd have been like, cool, that guy gets it. Like, he's been around the block. Instead, he's like, keep the change. Like, he's giving me a tip. I don't know.
I'm concerned by this whole story. I mean, first it's the tipping thing, but then also this dressing preppy. Like, what do you mean? He had a polo on?
He did actually have a polo on.
So, okay. So just like I'm dressed right now. Was he wearing brown shoes?
He had tennis shoes on. He, you know, all right. I say preppy. I'm probably saying that because of how he carried himself more so than how he was dressed. He looked like he was going golfing, and I'm right next to a golf course. So that's probably what was happening.
So he looked douchey.
Yeah, he did.
Okay, all right. I'm glad that we could get to the bottom of this.
Damn high school kid.
Yep, Jeremy's anti-kid.
I love kids. What I can't handle is the kids thinking that they're just, helping me out with a little 2 cent tip. I did accept a $25 tip today, but that was somebody who had just won $500 on the Powerball, and they're, you know, it's kind of like tipping the dealer.
Yeah, I'm going to ask you this question, and you know, you might want to scrub this whole segment. Are you allowed to accept tips?
I can do whatever I want. What are you talking about?
Oh, okay, okay. I don't want this to blow back.
I don't either. You know, we're one of the most popular comedy podcasts, not just in the United States, but in the entire world. And if I want to accept a $25 tip, I think I'm going to accept $25.
It was a show-related.
It had to be.
Yeah, this guy was from Bangladesh. His parents listen to the pod every single week,
and they
put their money together. They send in an envelope over to you.
Here's the thing. I got a little bit of an echo going. It's because we're in a very spacious room. We didn't have a show last week because the studio got flooded. That happens. That's okay. Natural disasters. It was as big as any natural disaster that has happened in the state of Nebraska this year. I'm going to put that out there.
Okay.
And so we didn't have a show last week, but this week we've got a returning guest, somebody who's been on the show before, somebody who is a former fifth speaker at Central.
No.
Somebody, okay, who is a former resident of Atlanta, Georgia?
Well, current.
Oh, current. All right. Current resident of Atlanta, Georgia, but baby boy is coming home.
Yep.
And he has been on the show a number of times in a number of different characters, but we've got Eric Larson back on the show.
And I honestly feel like this is my first time on the show.
Really?
Because I was on in December. I had a bit of a cold. Energy might not have been there.
Okay.
So I've been just thinking about that for the last 6 months and just how do I rebound to this?
Yeah. I hope this isn't like, I don't offend you. I haven't thought about it at all.
Yeah.
But I think you're right. Your energy wasn't there.
Well, I mean, just look. I mean, if, you know, a cold could take down the president. I mean, I haven't heard about, you know, I've been hearing about this damn debate for like 2 weeks. So if the cold could take down the president, it can take me down too.
Can we talk about that? Because you didn't watch the debate.
No.
But I'm sure the cold, I think, just got me. Like, did you hear that? The cough does not sound good.
Well, as you said, your basement's flooded. There's a lot of moisture.
There's a lot of moisture. And I just want to put it out there because I know people are thinking it in their heads. Oh, he's got mold. No, he doesn't. Okay? It's a clean situation. That's the thing. We reacted quickly. So, you know, I think kudos to everybody here at the studio. Johnny was first on the scene and made sure that things were taken care of. Now, could he have done a better job so that we weren't in this situation? Yeah, sure. Absolutely.
I hope that the next words aren't out of your mouth aren't that Johnny's your mold guy. Because Johnny can't identify mold. He's never been able to identify mold. If you're trusting him on your mold, you're going to be disappointed.
He's a mold in himself. Like, he's just gross.
He scratches sometimes, and I get worried. It's like, what's going to grow there?
So you didn't watch the debate. I did.
Yeah.
It was an absolute disaster on both sides.
Yeah.
But the beauty and the – it's like – it's tough to like, who can you talk to about this? Because some people, when you bring up how funny it was, they're like, this is America. This is important. And I'm like, yeah, it is. You're right. But in a vacuum, it was really funny because on one side, you have the current sitting president who didn't look like he knew where he was and couldn't even get complete sentences out at times. And then you had the former president on the other side being the same old guy he always has been.
Yeah.
Which – is it good for his case? But it's still he's the best situation here.
That should be the conversation that's going on. The first 15 minutes of the political show should be like, is Biden too old? Is he too old?
Yep.
And the second part of the thing should be like, can Trump answer a question?
Right.
Can he answer it truthfully?
Truthfully.
Like, why isn't this a bigger deal?
Yep.
You and I, obviously, we both came up, you know, kind of debating about politics all through the, you know, early 2000s, late 90s, early 2000s.
Yep.
And it was a game back then. And it was entertainment. Hey, I meet somebody, I meet a group of people, I find out that they're liberal, I start spewing off, you know, conservative talking points, or vice versa.
And it was fun, the back and forth. That's what it was.
Like, it was an argument in that.
Yes.
But to your point, I mean, this almost seems like they're kind of opening the door, because if we can't make fun of both sides here at this junction, I mean, that might be lost forever.
Yeah. It used to be some of my favorite parts of like an election year, was when those debates come, because you could find, all right, you know, I'm watching to kind of see where, how everybody comes out of it. You know, how do they stand? Do they look presidential? Do they sound presidential? Do they say all the right things? Can they respond when in a pressure situation? Because you don't get the candidates face to face talking to each other ever.
Yep.
Other than this. So how do they react? But then you also look for those moments, the humor, because that's, I mean, well, comedians, talk shows make entire careers off of this.
Yep.
And some of them don't want to touch it because it's so toxic.
Well, and I think that there's two things I'd like to say on that. And the first one is just like, you think back even like to 2012, Romney versus Obama. Like, we watched those debates and you got little nuggets of gold. Like when they asked Romney, hey, what kind of women are you going to put in your cabinet? And his answer started with the phrase, I have whole binders full of women. And like, that was, people were making fun of that for weeks, because that was the biggest gaffe of the thing, was binders of women.
Yeah.
There were at least 30 individual lines from this debate. Again, I didn't watch it, but it's permeated my soul by this point, just being, you know, around and hearing. There were 30 lines that were either funnier or more egregious, you know, in this last debate than that line.
Yeah.
And then the second thing is just, you know, to the point of people not making fun of it or that. I mean, SNL did it with the Alec Baldwin impersonations.
Yep.
But they got to a point where they weren't even doing a riff on the joke. They were just repeating verbatim what the president was saying.
Exactly.
And that was the joke, was listen to this in a funny setting and tell me that this isn't what we would normally be writing.
So this was said in this debate, and really in many, almost every other debate ever, this would have been the front like tagline coming out. Why was this said? Is that I did not have sex with a porn star. And that should have been, like, when he said that, I'm like, that's incredible. Like, to me, that was everything. That was worth sitting and watching this entire debate just because of how crazy it is that was said. Who cares which guy said it, that it was even said in this debate. But no one cares, because Biden, is.
And I got to stop you right there. Like, nobody cares who said it. If Biden said it, I think that would be even funnier.
You would have.
Like, that would have been. People probably would have forgiven him for the Sleepy Joe type of stuff.
If he
said that, they'd have been like, look at this. Look at this guy.
Had he said it, people would be saying he's never been more alive. But I. Yeah.
I, you know. Maybe Biden's campaign manager is listening to this show right now, and he'll have a whole bunch of porn star themed advertisements.
Yeah, you know what? Why not? from the sounds of it, they need funding somewhere. So they're maybe that'll help. Speaking of old men, you and I were talking. There's like the old guys, you know, that in forever, you and I would make fun of these people, or. On the flip side, we would be like, we're going to be that guy someday.
Yeah.
The old guy who's just got something that he'll live and die on. And it's almost like he's just yelling at the clouds. You know, the old guy yelling at the clouds. Like, it's a classic saying. But I had a guy, and this is, I want to hope this is what he was doing to me today. But it was one of those situations where I feel like he was yelling at the clouds. He's out at the gas pumps, right? He's getting gas.
You sure? Oh, sorry. I got getting my stories confused here. I thought you were talking about the redhead guy working the cashier that got the 2 cents. That guy yelling at the clouds.
You son of a bitch. That was me. This guy, he comes inside, opens the door, right? Just starts yelling that gas prices are too high. Just yelling. Then immediately leaves, goes right back outside, and continues the pump gas. It's like, this guy, he just wanted to be heard.
Yep. I would like to state for the record, before I go any further, I do not want to be a part of this.
Gas prices are too high in here. And it's funny because what he was purchasing, I mean, we're competitively priced. Like, we're lowest in the, like, you know, 5 mile radius. So it's humble, like, brag. All right, we're doing good. Humble brag. And it's like, so he's not coming in here complaining about my specific location and its price. It's more of like a broader, you know, topic of why is it not 99 cents a gallon anymore? Yeah. Like,
I'm just imagining if you guys put like a suggestion box out by the pump. Like, hey, give us your suggestions, and like just open it up, and just one of them just said, make gas cheaper.
You know what's funny is if to what you just said, if that guy ever realizes, or any of these other guys ever realize, that on their phone they have a comment box, shit's going down.
Yeah,
it's going down fast. But you're somebody though that in recent times, just watching NFL football on a Sunday, you've become kind of old man yelling at the clouds.
I'm a huge proponent of the go for it movement, and the coward coach is, that's my, I hate that.
So just go, like, so it should just be ball to the wall, like video game style now?
Well, again, for a lot of the offenses in the NFL, they're built to grab that 3 or 4 yards. So if you're at the 30 yard line where, hey, it's going to be a 40 plus yard field goal, but you're on 4th and 3, go for it. Like, challenge your offense. Like, get that yard. Because that touchdown, or even, you know, if you're in the second half, just even holding onto the ball longer is going to be more valuable than that 3 points. But I feel like a lot of coaches, they're more concerned with kind of keeping the scores close so that they don't get yelled at on Monday. Like, hey, I only lost by 7. I mean, I was down by 10 with 3 minutes to go. But I decided to use our last chance to kick a field goal instead of going for it. But
you know, I've had Chargers coaches that have made entire careers off of that. Just keep the game close.
Yep.
But like, that's the thing. Like, offenses are built to get those last few yards or whatever it is you need to get closer to the end zone. But the defenses, I mean, those are big. I mean, they're bigger and badder than ever before. Like, you would think, just take the points. I mean, I would think if there's ever a time in the game to just take the points and build on that, would be now, because they're bigger. But
yeah, I guess, and like the unique situation that I sent there, where I, not unique, but more of a common situation, I think, is that you see those ones where they are down by 2 scores. Like, you can even see some of those where they're down by 14 and there's 4 minutes to go in the game and they're still taking the field goal. And you're like sitting there at home and you're like, this is still a 2-possession game. Yeah. Like, you literally did not make up any ground on that. And then if you're counting on getting the ball back with 3 minutes to go, like, either you have all your timeouts and then maybe you get a chance, like they can get 2 first downs before they can run out the clock. But if you've already used your timeouts, or if you've only got 1 or 2 left, then you're pretty much guaranteed you're going to be hitting that 2 minute warning before you're going to get the ball back. So take the chance when you've got it and then go for 2. Yeah. Those situations where, hey, you're going to need that 2-pointer, like you're down by 15, so you've scored that first touchdown, go for 2 on that first one. Because if you don't get it, then at least you know, hey, I got a plan to get the ball 2 more times. Whereas if you go and you take that extra point, like, yeah, it might make that dramatic finish where you're going for 2 at the end of the game, but you, like, that's it.
Yeah,
you don't have any chance to react to that.
Hey, how come it's always you know, like you were just saying, like, if you're counting on getting the ball with, you know, under 3 minutes left, 2 minutes left, 1 minute left, whatever it is, why is it always Patrick Mahomes gets the ball with that much time left? He always gets the ball last. Why? How? What the fuck?
The algorithm, the NFL algorithm.
Somebody found just keep scrolling to it.
Yep. People keep stopping their scroll when they see Patrick Mahomes. They're like, yeah, I know he's only got 16 seconds, but I don't know, maybe.
That's enough time for him. It's frustrating.
Really, I mean, him and J.J. McCarthy, I mean, those are the only two quarterbacks you probably trust at that stage of the game.
It's J.J. McCarthy. Name your favorite J.J. McCarthy moment.
When he won the national championship. When Tom Brady declared him the best Michigan quarterback of all time.
All right. That's probably a good moment for J.J., right? Like, that's That's awesome.
I have none. I have no. Even I watched the championship game with Michigan. I have no specific memories of J.J. McCarthy.
I swear, I thought you were going to say when he was drafted by the Minnesota Vikings.
No, but I did think of it when the combine was going on. They had something like he was thrown like in a hallway.
Oh, and
like
that's threw awesome.
This like dart that was like in a hallway, like this big, like kind of open space. And it yep. was, you know, probably like 35, 40 yards. And yeah, all the Vikings fan groups were all like, this could be, you know, this could happen. We could be playing a football game in a hallway and this is going to be our guy right here. Look at that.
Well, shoot, in Minnesota, you never know. I mean, they had, remember yeah, when the dome collapsed?
Yeah, and, they did lose their stadium.
Like,
so.
You just don't know what's going to happen. Yeah. You may need a guy in a hallway, and there's just nothing better than draft time when that's a moment. Like, you remember yep. that moment, and that's silly that you remember J.J. McCarthy throwing darts in a hallway, but that's what draft time is,
yep.
And it's incredible. But they're going to play the real game soon, and, you know, I'm sure – I mean, hopefully the Vikings are lucky enough to have some games on like Peacock or something. That's going to be fun. Like, speaking of old guy shaking his fist at the clouds, how do you feel about Peacock?
Of NFL games on it?
Yeah.
I'm absolutely 100% against it. I don't understand it. I understand the financial part for the NFL. I don't understand how they can phrase this as something that's good for the consumer. Like this spreading around to all these different services getting the games. And this is something like we both grew up in a world where if you had Fox, CBS, yep. and NBC,
you
could
games.
See every game, every yep. game that was played during that week.
Yep.
Now, some of the moves were for the better. I don't mind, you know, the ESPN, you know, ABC team up for Monday nights and how they do that. But for like services, like they have the Sunday Ticket that used to cover like all these games. Well, now it covers all these games except for the ones that are showing on Amazon Prime, that are showing on Peacock, that are showing on these different stations. Like, you can't get them. Why? Like, I saw one breakdown that was like $800 is what it would cost you to buy all the subscriptions that yeah. you would need to see every NFL game.
To see all the games, yeah.
And it's just – so the Peacock thing upset me, you know, on that level of just like they get one game, which just seems like a slap in the face. Like, hey, for one game, you've got to go and sign up for this service.
But sign if you're up a struggling thing, streamer.
Get rid of it for, you know, after a month. Like, you got to do this. And then the fact that they made it a playoff game, like, I yeah. would have been, I probably would have been outside the NFL headquarters yelling at the clouds. yeah. If it was a Viking playoff game, if the Vikings were playing and I found out that it was on Peacock, like, oh, I would have been all, you know, all over it. Think about a bar.
Right.
I was just going to ask. A bar would have to have, you know what? They would have to go and get subscriptions for all their different like TVs. Like,
and
you
probably
know.
A commercial license yeah. for it. Yeah. And that's the thing. I was going to ask you if you watched the Peacock playoff game like at a bar, because I know you didn't have Peacock, but I didn't know if you.
No, I did not watch it.
Okay.
I don't remember it being that fun of a game.
It wasn't.
Yeah.
And it was probably like a Saturday at noon or 2 o'clock or something.
So, like, you know, all right, this is all hypothetical numbers, but like, let's say like Peacock was like, hey, we'll pay you $200 million for this one game every year. You think they would have been willing? Like, if the NFL was like, well, what if we give you a Mahomes game?
Oh,
like one, like we guarantee you that in the 10 years you have this contract, we'll give you 2 Mahomes playoff games. Like, how much do you think that raises the price?
Oh, the 500%. I mean, yeah that's. It's worth it, one, because he's the biggest star in the league, and
yep.
two, he plays on the team that's like the Dallas Cowboys of our generation. Like, they're the team that is ultra successful.
Definitely not the Cowboys.
the
Cowboys are definitely not the Cowboys of our generation.
No, but the Chiefs are like they of what Cowboys, you know, our parents grew up with the Cowboys being yep. the star, and it's the Chiefs. I mean, well, it was the yep. Patriots, and now it's the Chiefs. My kids are growing up with the Chiefs, yep. I guess. So, but to have Patrick Mahomes, to have Travis Kelce, to have yep. Taylor Swift, well, like, that's value.
As soon as you made that comparison, that's what I started going through my head, and it's almost like Mahomes is almost, like, Aikman and Emmett Smith like rolled into one.
Yep.
And now like Kelsey's the Michael Irvin. Like he's the one out there, you know, rallying up everybody, making the headlines. That's a very astute observation.
The Taylor Swift's not going to make it to the Charger game in KC Mo this year.
Apparently there's that's a already been decided.
It's already been decided. It's a schedule conflict. So
have you already marked which game she will be attending on your calendar?
Yeah. There's only like three that she's not going to.
No. Okay.
She loves football.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know this, but she loves football.
Yeah.
And Swifties love the Chiefs.
I really enjoyed it after the playoffs when they figured that it was like about like 8 seconds per game is what the average screen time that she had. But again, that's another old man, you know, not my old man thing, because they would mostly show her just, you know, after going into commercial break,
right,
or, you know, right after a Kelsey touchdown.
So I'm on the side of, I think it's good for the game.
Oh, definitely.
And show her as often as you want. It brings attention to the game. And really, isn't that what it's about? Like, isn't the broadcast supposed to show the game, talk about the game, and give you the game while growing the game at the same time? And anytime they can potentially give you a viral moment, what clips do you think are being shown on highlight shows and online constantly for weeks and months and years after? It's Taylor Swift. It isn't... Yep. It isn't, you know, Joe Schmo catching a ball from Patrick Mahomes, and that's who's catching for him right now. That's his wide receivers. It's Joe Schmo and Joe Schmo 2.
That's
because I think the rest of them are in jail.
Yeah, the rest of them are in jail. I like the first half of that answer just from the fact that you pretty much made my argument for Peacock, you know, being bad for it too. Of just like, you're not making the game visible to people. If the people can't see it, like, this kind of engagement doesn't come in. But yeah, even my mom knows that the you know, the Kansas City wide receiver core is in rough shape.
In shambles.
Yeah, she was asking me about Rashee Rice the other morning. She was just like, whatever happened to that guy that got in the high-speed chase? And it was just like, well
he's at training camp.
He got in trouble again, but kind of advancing.
That the like Peacock just – I you pay for it, you get it. I don't know. I guess, and I'm not talking about us. I'm talking about them. Yep. You know, they're a struggling streamer in a world that is full of streamers, and you buy the biggest TV show there is.
Yep.
I guess that's the deal. I think it sucks too. I mean, it should be, if you're thinking about the consumer and you're trying to make it available to as many people as possible, it's the way we grew up and it's on broadcast television, but that's just, I mean, that's just not what it is, but yeah, it's, I mean, it freaking sucks. What they should do then is allow more bars and restaurants to be able to show it without the extreme cost of the commercial side of it. Like even Sunday Ticket, it's exponentially more for them, you know, like, pay-per-view fights, UFC and boxing, like to show those in a restaurant or a bar, it's just exponentially more than what we would pay in our house. I think that sucks. Like, get more eyeballs on your product, get paid, you know, grow the game. Like, that's, I think you're gonna come out ahead because that's how it all started. That's how it all started, right? Yep. And then you get money hungry, but anyway, old guy shaking a fist. Now, when you go to the game, speaking of old guys shaking a fist, this is something that needs to go away, and I think you can agree with me, is when you go to the restroom and they've got the pee troughs.
Yo.
They got to go. When's the last time you used a pee trough?
Oh, I used one earlier this year, spring training. I was at the Toronto Blue Jays spring training facility. They were playing the Twins that day, and they had a bathroom that had the trough still.
So you not only have a trough, you have a trough in a warm-ass climate.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Oh. Did they have the ice in it?
I do not recall any ice in there.
Okay.
Now, that's not even my worst, you know, pee trough experience here in the last year.
What?
Yeah. last fall, I went to Europe for Oktoberfest.
Oh, boy.
And so they've got those big tents that hold a couple thousand people. I call them tents, but they're wooden structures, just
because they're like permanent structures,
yeah,
right?
They just have tent material as their roof.
Do they get snow there?
Yeah, they'll get snow.
Okay, so those tents are like, they're strong.
Yeah, well, not during Oktoberfest, thankfully, but they're pretty close to the mountains and they're kind of tucked in there. But yeah, you have like, you know, the tent that we were in probably conservatively held about 3,000, maybe 4,000 people in it. And so you go into this bathroom and it's a pretty sizable, you know, maybe like 25 by 25 by 25.
And it's a permanent structure,
yeah.
The bathroom.
Yeah, the bathroom is a permanent structure. Okay. And it's literally just troughs like lining up like each wall.
Really?
Yeah.
And there's just one opening you walk in and then boom, here's a room of troughs.
Yeah. Now, the nice thing is that, you know, the men's room, like you can walk right in.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're not waiting there. Where the ladies' room looked like it was probably like a 20, 25 minute wait.
But that's only because the fellas are just squeezing in.
Yep. Well, you always have that old guy that's back there that's just like, we can fit some more in there. Squeeze it in, boys. Squeeze it in.
How many old Viking games at the Metrodome do we go to? And it's just, there's no lines.
Yep.
It's just a crowd of people squeezing in where they can, peeing and yelling.
And inevitably, you know, you're going to use the bathroom probably three times at least at that game. Guarantee you that at one point you're going to go in there and you're going to go to pee. And there's going to be like a 8-year-old that you're going to see. You're going to look over to your left.
Yep.
And They're eye level to all the action, and you're just like, kid, I wish you the best. I wish you didn't have to go through this.
And you looked at his little dick or no?
No, I didn't look at the kid.
Well, I don't know. I'm asking.
I'm just saying, it's just, you got to think of the children.
I didn't know where the story was going. Okay. All right. So no. Okay. I got you. So then, so the kids, they're squeezing in.
Yeah.
Do you think they get splashed back?
Oof, I hope not.
I hope not,
I don't have any memories of... Okay. I mean, obviously, everybody had to face this crucible. If you were a kid in the 80s and 90s, like... Yeah. I mean, you had to go, so...
You had to go.
Yeah, you didn't really have any choice in it either. Like, you had to go.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I would hope not.
I would hope not. I don't know. I've never thought about that until you were just sitting here talking.
It makes me think of the episode of The League where... the Kroll guy's got his kid in the bathroom, and the kid goes and picks up the ice in the urinal.
Yes. Oh, my God. It's so gross.
So, all right, just to, you know, fish out of water even more. So at Oktoberfest, you know, this pee room.
Yeah. How many beers deep are you in going before you went into this pee room?
Oh, I mean, I was probably under my second liter of beer.
Okay.
First time I used it.
Fair enough.
But there's like a bathroom attendant that's going around kind of, you know, tidying up and cleaning, and it was a woman, like an older matronly lady.
Yeah.
But yeah, she's just going about her business there in the middle of the bathroom, and that wasn't the only time I saw that in Germany. Like there was another bar that we went to at one point, and she's just in there cleaning and just go pee wherever, do whatever you need. And
it was pee
just
wherever.
Like, yeah.
I've seen attendants before, but they're always guys. Yeah. And they always got the little towel, and they're just you know wanting a tip. Yeah.
I was probably staring her down as I was going. She was probably new. She was just like, must be an American.
Yep. She knew.
Yeah. I didn't want her coming around that divider. I mean.
What was the general like vibe in there in the pee room? Was it everybody was having a great time or was everybody kind of like, here we are?
Yeah, there wasn't a lot of chatting. See, you know. And that might be a cultural difference, you know. I mean, in America, you got a little bit of that camaraderie from, you know, people yelling at the back of your head. But
100% would have been conversation in America.
Yeah, but it felt like it was a lot more, you know, just business like that. Or, you know, I might not be a reliable narrator just from the fact that, you know, two liters in for the first one, probably three or four into the second one.
The second,
so, yeah. I mean,
they had private like toilets that you could also use, or was it just here you are?
Oh yeah, they had some stalls in there too. So
gotcha. I know you weren't there, but maybe you've heard this story before. I did this two shows in Lincoln, comedy shows one night. Second show, I really would rather not talk about, but I do know.
I thought that's where the comparison was coming from. I was just like, hey, we're talking about the shitters. Like now let's talk about Jeremy's second performance in Lincoln.
I'll give you a shitty show. No. And I did, but the restroom at this bar, it was honestly no bigger than a very small apartment, like walk-in closet. Like small. Yep. Like you walk in, immediately to your left's the sink. Like immediately, like can't even swing the door open. Boom, like there it is, right?
Bathroom.
Yeah. It was slightly larger than that.
Okay.
But just past on the other side of the sink was this mini trough that was kind of raised. So I feel bad for short dudes. Like it was like I was borderline. And I'm 5'11". Like it was borderline, right? I'm 6 foot. And then
I've never had to pee on my tiptoes.
Yeah, mini trough full of ice. So it's so small though that like, and then immediately next to the trough was a toilet with no. Like it's wide open.
Yeah.
So we're peeing, we're pooping like together. Like it's a community event, right? And when you're bombing on stage, the last thing I want to do is share that moment in the bathroom. But that's exactly what I did. It was like I've had many troughs like situations, and generally they are like large groups of people, you know, trying to like squeeze in like we were talking about, but this one was very private, very intimate. It was very intimate. Yeah. I can't even imagine like even three dudes trying to squeeze into this trough. Like,
you think you could fit three guys in here? I dare you to fit three guys in here.
The fourth one for sure would have been in the sink, like with the door open. Like it would have been a whole thing, but it was like an old biker bar. So like, these big dudes coming in there, like maybe it was just an oversized urinal.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. But do you think the there was a guy one day that was using the trough and he's just like, what if we had our own? Like, what if I had my own trough? And that's how they came up with the urinal?
That's deep.
Yeah.
That's deep.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
The summer shanty's hitting.
It's quite possible that could be the thought process. I mean, you just get, I mean, a shy peer, you know, you start thinking too much and all of a sudden it's just like everybody else is going, why aren't I going? I mean, right. this could be a thing.
You remember back in the day when like in high school, like we were going to movies and we were like, where are the clocks? Like there should be clocks all over the movie theater. So that we know what time it is so that we're not late to our movie, or so we have more time to hang out, get snacks, whatever, and still know kind of what we're dealing with timeline-wise. Like, that was our thing. And then when you get into the theater, there should be a freaking clock so you know kind of what you're dealing with as far as, like, when the movie starts. Remember that?
So I'm actually very confused by this because I thought we just told people that story to piss them off. I thought that was just something that we did to annoy people.
I firmly believe there should have been clocks all over a movie theater.
I think we expanded on it too, and we said that it needed a clock and a laundromat in there because why not do some laundry while you're in there seeing the movie?
Well, that's something. But I two things to this. The shanty's hitting. But this is the first one. I did go to a movie one time with Grant, and it was like a one-time showing type of movie.
Yeah.
And they had a clock inadvertently in the corner of the screen because of how they were streaming this movie to come into the movie theater. Like, I don't know. It was something, right? They had a clock.
Yeah.
And I found myself staring at the clock. And then when the movie wasn't starting on time, I found myself staring at the clock with anger. So maybe the clocks were a bad idea. But the second thing, there needs to be clocks at pools, like when you go to the pool. Because I was at a pool a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
And I had no time. I had no clue what time it was. And I'm in the water. You know, I'm doing the lazy river. Like, I'm enjoying myself, but I need to know what time it is.
That's almost like where they need a clock, and they need, like, the clock with, like, chimes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just so, like, every hour it's giving you the hour. Every half an hour it's alerting you.
Right.
Because, I mean, that'd be a good one. Like, hey, when I hear three chimes, I know I need to reapply some more sunscreen.
Exactly. And I found myself like trying to count how many songs it's been since the last break when they make all the kids get out of the pool, you know, for 15 minutes or whatever it is.
Yep.
But then I lose track because I'm enjoying the jams and I'm swimming. Like, I shouldn't be thinking about that stuff. So
this came up, you know, this last week, and you know, you kind of like saying, listening to the songs and just jamming out.
Yeah.
Do you ever get it? And this is something that I feel like has stuck with me since the radio days. Like, I will listen to music or I'll listen to a playlist, and if I hear the same artist play, like, half an hour like apart. Like it just sets off alarms in my head, and I'm just like, wait, why are we, you know,
why is this happening?
Why are we hearing another song from this? Yeah, like, I don't remember even paying attention or noting when the song came on originally. But now here I am 30 minutes later saying, yeah, this is, you know, what did we do to deserve, you know, a second, you know, Bon Jovi song?
You should not listen to Top 40 radio then, because you will hear many, many Taylor Swift songs. Many. Within an hour. Many.
Like...
Like, she's single-handedly keeping them alive. It's
what are we talking? Like, many? Like, three manys? How many times did you say many? Four? Oh, are you three. Talking four? Well, four songs in an hour?
I say three minimum, because you're going to get whatever the latest single is, Fortnite, and then you're going to get Cruel Summer, and then you're going to get something from Midnight's. There's, like, three songs on Midnight's that's kind of rotated through. I guarantee you get those three in an hour.
Anti-Hero.
Anti-Hero, yeah. That'd be one.
Lavender Haze.
Yep, that'd be another one. There's one more,
man.
But yeah, they're you get them just constantly rotated through all day long. But yeah, you know, you can easily get all three in 1 hour. But and I'm not complaining. I'm singing along the whole time. I'm just saying.
If I mean, you have complained. What Taylor Swift, you know, games she'll be attending and not attending based on the tour schedule marked out.
It's true.
What I love too is you're planning for longevity here. Like you're fully committed to the Taylor Swift Kelsey. You know, romance, like,
yeah,
you're betting on this, even though she's shown no history of, you know, being able to maintain this relationship that long.
Correct. And I don't know that this is like forever.
Yeah.
You know,
you
but,
don't know that this is the one.
Right. But I do think there's enough momentum right now. I mean, he's on tour with her, that there's enough momentum that we're going to see through the football season. And I don't think. And actually, as a Chargers fan, I hope this whole thing blows up during the season, because that'll really mess with Travis's psyche. But I don't know that'll happen. That will likely happen.
That's after the season. That's an interesting take right there. Just even that you're like, hey, the breakup will be more destructive. Like it's not gonna, you know, you don't think the breakup will, you know, kind of piss Kelsey off? Like he ascends to new heights. Like because you part of you has to think like. All right, we've already got a potential Yoko Ono situation in here just with, I mean, are Brittany Mahomes and Taylor Swift, are they going to be able to continue to coexist?
Right.
You know, could there be trouble in paradise? Could this, you know, all just blow up?
But that's where do the teammates have enough, you know, culture and camaraderie to see past what's going on outside? Because that's going to happen someday. Like this thing is going to blow up someday. And those two, you know, didn't they already have a thing last season where it was like, all right, well, Brittany's not going to be in the suite, you know, this week. Like that, I'm sure that didn't sit well with her. But yeah, that thing's going to blow up. Can Patrick and Travis still, you know, coexist on the field when all this is going on? Because we're going to have a power struggle.
Yeah.
Could he blow up and just become just an angry guy looking to just cause harm? You know, after sure, but when the album's coming out, that's about him and the breakup. Like that's not going away.
That's an album of the year, right there.
That's going to be a problem.
That's going to be a fire album.
Oh yes, it is. So that's where, all right, you know, this thing's going to linger because there's going to be an album. So that's where I enjoy that.
You know, I thought originally that you were going to be naming this show after, you know, Angry Man Yelling at the Clouds, or, you know, that was going to be the theme, but this might be the Taylor Swift show.
This might be.
This might be.
This one's for the Swifties.
Hey, you know, this is what's going to rocket you up the charts. You know?
This is going to be what rockets up the charts?
Yeah.
This, let me tell you something about this podcast. We're number one in India.
Yeah.
We're number one in Ecuador. And it's all because of the work Johnny puts in. Johnny Palermo, our famed producer. He does so much work outside of the United States that I don't even know about. I don't want to know about.
Yeah. Ecuador.
Ecuador.
Johnny.
He's a man of many talents.
Hmm.
I don't know what he does over there. I don't even want to know.
I'm shocked to hear this because I would almost bet you money that Johnny could not find the equator on a globe, let alone Ecuador.
That's possible. Especially since I'm familiar with his education.
Yeah.
That's actually probably true.
Yeah.
Poor guy. So somebody who frequents, actually you're moving back to Omaha. You're not going to be flying around. You're not going to be flying around in hotels. You're in airplanes. You're not going to be hitting the beach every other week in Tampa. Like you're going to be living and slumming with us in middle America. Tell us some of the, I'm interested in like, what's some of the like things you learned on the road, hitting the airports every week, hitting the hotels. Like what are some of the stuff you learned that maybe you're going to miss or maybe you won't miss?
I don't know that I have any specific travel tips, but just that survival piece of what you'd have to do to survive in the big city. That I didn't realize was such a big deal. I mean, there's so much land out here that, buildings go wide. They don't go tall. But like my current office it has an elevator. It has like 19 floors. And my office is on the 11th floor. I'm not walking the steps.
Why not?
So I have to, number one, the steps are not air conditioned.
Oh.
So Atlanta summer. Like it gets very hot.
Yeah.
So I'd be showing up into the office.
Is that why they call it Hotlanta?
No. Oh, okay. Nobody in Atlanta calls it Hotlanta.
Just people like me.
Yeah, just people like you, and they're trying to get a rise out of me. So I'm aware of your game here.
Hotlanta.
It's the first five floors going up steps are always just like, man, I could do this all day. And then once you get to about floor six, you're just like, I've made the worst mistake of my life.
That's terrible.
Yeah. The power's gone out a couple times, or the elevators have gone out in the building a couple times, and I've had to do that walk.
You frequent elevators.
Yeah.
What are you going to miss about the elevator?
Well, no, I'm just saying, like, you have to learn, like, a new code. Like, you have to learn how to interact with people in ways that you never had to do.
It's like a whole different universe in the elevator.
And it's kind of, kind of one of the things that separates the amateurs from somebody who's more of a professional is just, you always need to be making sure that you're load balancing the elevator. So if there's one person in the far, back corner, like you need to stand on the opposite side of the elevator from them.
It's not teeter totter. Like you,
well, no, and then,
you can coexist
as you go in. Well, it's kind of like picking which urinal you're going to use. Like you never pick the urinal that's going to be next to somebody unless you're, 60 plus and you just don't care anymore.
Yeah.
Like, but the elevator, like you need to maintain personal space, but at the same time you need to, once somebody gets off, like all of a sudden there's only two people on the one side of the elevator. Like you'll know the professional by the one that moves to the other side.
Okay.
So you see somebody else out there, you're like, this hayseed, probably from Nebraska, doesn't know what they're doing.
Do you think that's what people think about me?
Yeah, in the elevators, absolutely, 100%.
So do you talk to people in there?
No, God, no. You never talk to anybody in there.
Did you ever? These are people that you're never going to see again. You're in the elevator. You're in close proximity with them. You don't want to just be like, hey, what's going on?
You're way too used to the grocery world. You're too used to like making eye contact with everybody, smiling, waving at them. Like, you wave on an elevator, you're probably getting thrown off.
Oh, that's not possible.
You do get some of those chatters. Some of those people that want to talk to you are just like, throw the small talk. Like, oh boy, sure is hot.
Because it's Hotland.
Like, or smells like rain outside. And
do people say that in Atlanta?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, again, you just, the real pros are the ones wearing their headphones in there. Because then they can just be totally oblivious. I don't do that. So, unfortunately, if somebody starts talking to me, I feel the urge that I have to talk back to them.
Have you felt like maybe that's a move you bring back with you to Nebraska so that you can really big city them?
That I won't talk to people?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just keep the headphones in and just be like, I'm just point. Just point the headphones. Yeah, just point your ears.
I'm obviously either from out of town or I'm 16.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
You should really bring back some of this stuff to Nebraska with you.
But the tough one is that the talkers, like where they really trap you is holding the door.
Okay.
So I walk in a straight line. I get to the elevator. I press the button. I walk in a straight line to the elevator. If the elevator is empty when I get in, I pick the farthest spot at the back of the elevator, right? Mm. because I want it to be, if somebody comes around the corner trying to run to make that elevator,
yep.
I want to be farther away from the buttons than they are.
Okay.
So then I can be like, oh, well, I can kind of shrug and I can just be like, sorry.
Oh,
I
mean, so you don't even like fake an attempt at get the door or anything?
No. I'm already going into that shrug motion when I see them. So, but sometimes you'll be that guy that's coming late to the elevator and somebody will hold it.
Right.
God forbid that that person is a chatterer as well. Because then they got you, you know, they got you over the coals. Like,
oh, yeah.
You've got to react to it then.
Yeah, I mean,
These people did you a solid. They let you in.
It used to be, like you were just talking about, like shrugging your shoulders, getting to the button. It used to be you'd put your arm in the door and that would be.
Oh, yeah. People do that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So that's still, you're not doing it. But yeah. But
no, I'm too far in the back of the elevator.
Yeah, even though you have long arms, you're real tall, you know. You could make that.
I mean, it's an elevator. These people.
You could know them.
Now, I'm not one of these people. I want to start this by saying I'm not one of these people.
Okay.
But I do know elevator farters.
Hold on. You know specific people.
Oh, yeah.
That fart in an elevator?
I could name names, but they probably listen to this show.
I think it's time. Because
that
should be a crime.
I have some coworkers. I have one of them that does it, and he thinks it's funny because he'll do it right when we get on the elevator.
It's a good thing you said he, because I was thinking it was Amy.
No.
I was like, she does look like an elevator farter.
In her defense, she had never worked out of this office. Our previous office did not have an elevator.
She's off the hook.
I mean, hey, I'm not going to discount and say that she never would.
Right.
I'm just saying that not in my personal experience.
Okay.
But yes, this guy will intentionally fart, and it's kind of like the guy in high school that would fart in the car and lock the windows. Mike.
Mike?
Well, Mike was a car farter.
Yeah, Mike thought it was hilarious.
Yeah.
But then we'd have to get the sunroof going.
Yeah.
Just to get us some oxygen, but.
But yeah, the more devious ones, though, are the ones that fart on the way out. So that fart's going to travel up to the next floor or the next group of passengers.
That's a targeted attack.
Yeah.
I could see it if you're in there alone. And I'm not going to say I've never. If I'm in there alone, you know, let one go. And then it's unfortunate.
Yeah.
Then when somebody walks in, because how am I supposed to know that there's going to be somebody on the next floor? Because everything that I'm living and seeing in is that I'm going to get to where I need to go without any more interruptions. And sometimes it's like, ding, and then now we got a problem.
Yep.
That's happened. But I'll never do it intentional. Like with other people in there trapped in that box. And I would never then hit like the emergency stop and then we're stuck in there.
Yeah.
I think you're right. I think Mike would do that.
Now, emergency stop. If you hit the emergency stop, it doesn't matter if you farted or not. Like, you're a sociopath.
Yeah,
you don't touch. You don't touch that button. But there are some. So, we've talked a lot about the courteous people, the people that open the doors, the people that talk, that do this kind of stuff.
Yep.
But there's also the people that sit there, like they go immediately to the buttons.
Yep.
And there's a closed door button, and they'll keep tapping it. Tap, 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 tap,
yeah,
tap, tap.
Why like is it such a rush?
Like trying to get the door to close faster. And it's like the door is going to stay open for the normal amount of time, and then it's going to close. Like this does nothing.
There's like people on the corner of a street hitting the light for the, you know, for the walk sign to go. It's not coming any faster if you keep tapping that thing.
Yep.
Like traffic's going to traffic. Like you can't do it. I just made that up. Traffic's going to traffic. You think that I could like coin that is like a phrase?
I think that Chandy's hitting.
Gold is what it's hitting. It's hitting gold. Traffic's gonna traffic, and there's nothing that's gonna change that.
Yeah,
I'm with you on that one.
That brings up, you know, one of the other big differences is even the big city is just, you come here to Nebraska, everybody's got the big trucks.
Oh yeah.
It's insane to see those big trucks driving around in Atlanta, like especially like in the city.
Is it because the buildings are bigger so they look like little toys? Yeah.
Oh, you sweet, sweet summer child. Like, no, but like parking is at like a premium, like downtown. Mm. If you're parking, you're probably going in, you know, some sort of parking garage, or there's very like street parking, kind of like in Seinfeld.
Yeah.
Like the street parking's gone immediately, and those cars just parked there for 3 months. Like, you're not giving up the good spot.
Yep.
But yeah, it's amazing because my office in Atlanta has a lot of transplants from Nebraska that bring their big trucks in here. And I'm always just, it boggles my mind because it's just like, why make it that much more inconvenient for yourself to operate in the city?
Yeah.
And then what they do that goes up, and this might be verging on old man in the clouds type of thing, but they back into the spot. Like, are you a spot backer? Do you back your car in?
I have become somebody who does it from time to time.
No.
I'm not an absolute. I do it, I think, when it's convenient. Like, if I go grocery shopping and I come home, I'm going to back up, you know, into the driveway just because it's convenient.
Yeah. Because you guys aren't backed into the driveway right now.
We are not, but I didn't have any groceries. So it's just one of those things where when it makes sense, I do it. There is times where I'll just do it for fun because I know I can. Like,
well, and that, honestly, I mean, that was the first thing I thought about. I was just like, this must be like a new confidence for like a skill you've gained because, I mean, Minnesota trip, we would go up to Minnesota to see a game or something. We'd all ride up in the same car. We'd park the car and we wouldn't touch it for like 3 days.
Yep.
But we would still sit in that car for like 15 minutes making fun of you backing in and out, moving that car, trying to get in the spot.
All I'm going to say about that is I was young. And when you have – and you don't have a lot of experience of backing a vehicle or even parking a vehicle, and you've got all these guys just yelling at the top of their lungs, and you're talking about farters. We've got yelling. We've got farting. And – I'm just trying to park the car. I don't want to cause any damage. It's difficult. Yeah, sometimes it's going to take me a couple of times to get it, you know, to get it right. I do feel that today at 41 years old, I could back that thing up with you guys yelling, with you guys farting, and it would be no problem. I get it the first shot.
You know why Travis stopped driving or using his car to take us up to Minnesota?
It can't be for, it was from all those reasons? Or
well, all the farts.
All the farts, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it's... Apparently, there was an abundance of farts in that car, and his wife never got over the fact that, you know, there were so many farts in there. She could still smell the farts even after he detailed the car. So
I love that after all these years and all you guys just, you smell, and I'm the one that ends up with Crohn's disease. Because I tell you, I wasn't the guy smelling up the car before.
And now it's... Like, you could put all of our farts to shame.
Yeah, now I'm cursed. Yep. Now I have to use a weighted blanket every night just to keep it in control.
So, all right, you're saying that you'd never fart in an elevator.
Correct.
You never hotboxed using that giant blanket?
Using the blanket?
Yeah, using this heavy blanket, I mean.
Oh, no, yeah, that's a thing. That's 100%. Like, the blanket holds it all down. Just for the safety of everybody in this home. Yeah, that's... it's a beautiful thing.
Now, all right. So back to the original topic here. Just the backing into park.
Yeah.
At my office building, I will see it. Not every day, but I will see it occasionally. There's an abundance of pull-through spots. Like, just you come up one lane, you pull through.
I dream for a pull-through.
Like, it's easy.
Yep.
I will still see people going and backing into those parking spots. Even when there's like an abundance around it.
Okay. So when they're backing in, are they backing into a spot where there's nobody behind them?
Yeah. Yeah. It's two open spots there. So they could just pull through and they'd just be on the other side.
Yep. So I love a pull through. I'll hit a pull through anytime I can.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
But I do see a lot of folks who drive trucks that they'll go out of their way, avoid the pull through to back up into a spot where there's no parking available behind them just so that there's no risk of anybody else behind them. I don't know why. I mean, what do they think is going to happen? I mean, we're a society. We're all out there parking, right? I mean, yeah, sure, accidents happen, but that's what you have insurance for. Like, but they do that a lot when they've got big trucks. Hopefully someone who's listening with a big truck can explain this.
Yeah, please call in now.
Yeah, call in now, yeah. But that's the thing where there's a pull through all day long.
Yeah, yeah. That's one thing too. One of our friends, Cody, he has a small child now, and so I'm kind of getting reacquainted with, you know, your kids are old. Like, they haven't been babies for a while.
They're so old.
And now he's, I'm starting to see parking a little bit different because I have noticed that since he had this kid, he's now one of the guys, he will take the closest spot to the front, no matter how many cars are around it. Where I'm always, like, I'll go three more spots in and I'll park with nobody next to me.
Yeah.
He's going to cram himself into that spot that might not even fit his car.
Yep.
And I'm just like, wow, like this is what...
It's having, steps.
This is what, you know, having kids does to you.
Yep.
And he has mentioned that. He was just like, if I park over there, that's 10 more feet that something could go wrong on the way into the store.
He ain't wrong. And you know what I love about that? Like that little anecdote is that Cody's the guy that before his baby was born said his life would not change at all with having a child. He's got it figured out.
Well, he was setting his ways. He's setting his ways.
Nothing's going to change in his life. He's got it figured out. Like, and he, I don't know, there's a person I know that's changed their life more. Yep. Like, to adapt to the child. It's awesome. Shout out, Cody. That's great. Okay. So we're at the part of the show where I'm going to say we're going to stop the show.
Okay.
Okay. And then we're going to restart the show. But now it's Friday happy hour.
Oh, this is how it works?
This is how it works.
Oh my gosh. I'm seeing how the sausage is made.
Yep. You would stick around for Friday happy hour?
I would love to. Okay. I'd love nothing better.
Absolutely. All right.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.